minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And we're ready to rock and roll on this wonderful Tuesday. I mean, this morning I go outside. It felt like a nice summer's night, although it was daytime, just because it was a little tiny hint of coolness in the air. But a beautiful day. It is supposed to get really cold tomorrow. And Angel, I know you being an Alabama boy, these cold, are you used to the, you've been in Greeley now for 4 years. We don't get a lot of snow. I mean, we get snow. Are you growing more accustomed to colder weather, like really stupid cold weather, and then snow and ice and sleeting and slick roads and all that stuff?
I feel like I am used to it. The cold is something like, I don't like the cold by any means. I have a hard time trying to figure out how to stay warm out here. But actually, this past February, I had to dig my car out. I parked on the street like an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
I had to dig my car out. I didn't have a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would I?
So you just go into dog mode?
I dug with my hands for about an hour and a half, and this good Samaritan drove by, had a shovel in his truck, and gave it to me to use. But yeah, that was nice. It was nice.
Oh, man. See, that happened. So you never think about it, and people lose their mind in the winter. They don't know what to do. I grew up on a farm. We had tractors to get us out of stuff, right? So we just go bust through, plow our own roads. I was 20 miles out of town growing up. I move up here, and it's a different story. It's like your driveway, if it's high drifts, whatever, you might not get out of there for a day. I've been in that case before, and so it's a way different world, even for me. Because where I grew up, I'm a farm kid. You dug yourself out. So, yeah, it takes some getting used to on all that side. The cold doesn't bother you to enough, though, where you're like, I don't know why I live here. Why am I here?
Sometimes I think, like, as the winter goes on towards, like, February, March, I get a little annoyed. I'm like, okay, it's just too cold.
I don't like it when it's cold and just no snow. Like, to me, that's like a rattlesnake without venom.
My thing is the wind. Especially up here in Greeley.
Wind is stupid. It's getting windy now. I mean, well, plus you have, I heard Cody on with Tanner, you have the fire situation going on up around Estes Park, and we've been sharing his updates on that too. I mean, tell you, Cody's Facebook page.
Denver in Front Range weather.
I'm telling you, man, my wife has followed that page for years, and I'm like telling her about it the other day. She's like, oh, yeah, I follow that page. People, because he's a heck of a weather guy, but he's also keeping us updated on what's going on with this fire situation. And boy, did not expect on the 16th of November to really be talking about that. So hopefully this cold weather coming up this week brings some kind of necessary moisture, especially up around Estes Park, the foothills and that kind of thing. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Power to play sports poll question of the day. Should the Broncos bench Teddy Bridgewater and start Drew Lock? Now, if you'll notice, Angel, I didn't once mention in the poll question, because of the business decision that Teddy Bridgewater made, I didn't say that, although maybe I'm feeling it. Should the Broncos bench Teddy Bridgewater? 71% of the Hooligans so far say yes. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote and let me know what you think. I'd be very curious. And I'm going to give you my take on this as well. So here's what's interesting. What do you want to play first? How about Darius Slay gets the fumble return? And I don't know how much of it you have, but he was asked. Hey, I don't even know if he was asked about Teddy. He brought it up that Teddy didn't go for him and tackle him. Here's what Darius Slay said about his fumble return for a touchdown and Teddy not going after him.
I was hoping Teddy didn't try to, because I'll probably give him a good stiffy. But that's my dog, though. You know, that's Teddy, my dude, man. I've been playing against him for a long time. I went to him after the game. I said, bro, you try to tackle me? He said, Slay, you know I can't tackle you. You know, because I was out there, you know, rolling. But that's my dude.
Oh, and very respectful. Appreciate it, right? But, I mean, even Darius probably jokingly, he doesn't want to throw Teddy under the bus because he likes Teddy. But even jokingly, he's like, dude, you're not trying to tackle me? What's going on there? And Teddy's like, I can't tackle you. Anybody can tackle anybody in this league. I've seen the smallest guys in the NFL. I've seen punters and kickers tackle guys that are running at 22 miles per hour in a kick return. It's all about stopping that momentum. And if he could have stopped the momentum, could somebody else have tackled him? Maybe so. So here, okay, here's what Teddy said after the game. So this was Sunday, and I have a bigger issue with this than I even do the non-tackle, and I'm going to get into that. Here's what he said Sunday.
You know, as I see a guy trying them for the block, and then I'm just thinking, hey, man, maybe I could force the ball back inside, and one of our guys will make the tackle.
Okay, so there's Teddy Sunday. That was after the game, post-game. He's talking about it, saying, hey, I kind of tried to force him in. There was a guy blocking there. I mean, I get it's fast motion, and things are way different than what we're seeing on our couches, but you put your head down. Did he not put his head down? He put his head down and stopped at the end of that play. He actually stopped running. He put his head down and stopped running. However, he says he was trying to turn Darius Slay inward. There was none of that happening. Teddy made no effort whatsoever on that play. Now, here is Teddy yesterday after he had a chance to see the film and probably get chewed out by the coaching staff.
You know, coach pointed it out that, hey, my effort had to be better there. And I totally agree. That's not the type of tape that I want to put out there. You know, and it's one of those situations where you get pissed, you know, after you watch it, because it's like, you know how much this game means to you. You know, guys out there trying to make a play. It's like you feel like you got a little help running towards the sideline. You try to force a cutback, but in real time, it feels like, hey, everything's happening fast. Let's force a cutback. But when you slow it down, it's like, man, you know, just give more effort.
I mean, what am I missing something? Because I did not see a forcing of a cutback at all, like any attempt. I didn't even see like a fake lunge at him at all. I didn't see that. Now, here's what I asked this question today, and we got a lot of feedback on it and all on social media, and I'm curious to get your feedback here during the show today. But I think you should have another problem, perhaps a bigger problem, with the fact that he almost admitted to kind of lying about it. And again, this isn't like going to the Supreme Court or anything. But he goes from saying, I tried to turn him in, to, I should have just gave more effort there. I mean, we're all watching the play. Even the still frame, Angel, has Teddy. The still frame shows more effort than what we saw.
Yeah, I actually just pulled it up just to rewatch it, and I have that angle that you just showed me on the other side, and it's the same thing. I see, it looks like Melvin Gordon, offensive lineman, and a receiver, and then there's Teddy just standing there with a clear shot. There's three Eagles, three Broncos, and Teddy, and touchdown.
Yeah, it's... What more can you say? Okay, is that the kind of play? Now, I had Scott Patchett on yesterday, who I respect greatly, defensive lineman for CSU. And, of course, we're talking about hard stuff going on with the program, the Rams program. But we also talk about regular football. We talk about the NFL. We talk about college. And Scott said, well, if you're Teddy, you've been hurt before. And you've actually missed two seasons. In fact, we kind of thought Teddy Bridgewater's career was over when he was hurt, when he missed those two seasons, almost full two seasons. And he said, you know, at that point, maybe that's going through his brain. I don't want to. Let me ask you this, Angel. Is that tackle, the attempt of a tackle, going to hurt him any more than a 355-pound or 300-pound pass-rushing defensive end or linebacker is going to deliver on a regular basis to him?
No, and even it would be different if it's like, say, a defensive lineman picked up the ball and started running. Yeah, you're not going to try to throw yourself at a 300-pound guy to tackle him. But Darius Slay is a safety cornerback. Like, you could just knock him a little bit and maybe throw him off. Maybe he trips. But no effort at all. That as a player, that would make me feel like this guy doesn't want to be here.
And that's what I'm getting at. Is, okay, first off, Teddy hasn't been dynamic. The offensive line hasn't done him any favors. I understand that. The play calling is awful. Pat Shurmur, please go away. Oh, you did. Still didn't matter. Please go away more. Sorry. But if your response is, well, Melvin Gordon shouldn't have fumbled it. I had a basketball coach. Now, again, bear with me. I played small-town high school basketball. But my coach was a monster. He was a man. He was a drill sergeant kind of guy. And I greatly respect that guy to this day. Scared the hell out of me in high school. You know what he used to say? I am 10 times more likely to forgive physical mistakes than mental mistakes. Melvin Gordon's fumble is what you would call a physical mistake. And I know they're playing at a high level, but fumbles happen. They do. That's part of the game. These defenders are taught to force fumbles now. It's going to happen. Teddy gave up on the play. For what reason? We heard that he wanted to turn a guy inward. It did not look like that because he was running. He was not running. Did not try to turn him inward, turn him out of bounds. He's in between him and the out of bounds line. So I don't get the description there. The response on that side.
No. So I was at the game with our good friend Cody, and our seats were in the north end zone. So I could see, you know, full 22 field view, and there was nothing there. As soon as he cut outside and then right back towards the field goal post, but Teddy could make some effort there. Maybe he trips, but no.
Maybe he trips. Maybe he does nothing, but a dive. Hell, you saw the offensive lineman take the dive. He was 10 yards. Who was that 5 weeks ago in a game? I don't remember who it was. The big fat lineman that's 10 yards behind the guy, but he just dives anyway. Good luck. Maybe a fingertip will grab the...
That's that effort you want to see out there on the field.
It's DK Metcalf. Somebody tweeted at me today, messaged me. Brady, do you want to see your quarterbacks play quarterback or do you want to see them tackle? I want to see them make a football play. We talked about that. Did you want to see DK Metcalf make catches or chase down an Arizona Cardinals defender and save a touchdown? That right there could save a season. That right there can turn guys that maybe didn't believe in you to that guy's going to lay it all on the line. I don't know how if you're locker room, you're not looking at that going, we got a playoff spot here, maybe. That could be the difference, folks. That could be the difference. And we'll never know.
This play feels like a swing play. At the stadium, it felt huge.
Yeah, you said it just died out there.
This whole stadium just went because, you know, to get the pick by Simmons, driving down the field. Okay, maybe we score and tie. Fumble. Fumble would have been fine, I guess.
Fumble, you could have lived with it because
but it's taking it back to the house in the third quarter. Now you have no chance.
It's essentially, I mean, I know they didn't score, but you kind of look at it could be a 10-point swing. It could be a 14-point swing. If they turn it over, it looked like Gordon would have had the first down. Beginner's Luck says, after that play, I don't think that the 2022 quarterback is on the roster. I haven't believed that from the beginning. But you know my old adage, Angel. What do I like to see with players that have unknown qualities about them? I want to see us close the book. And this is a magazine. Didn't have the same effect.
Books anymore, Brady.
I actually do.
You have a nice bookshelf in your office.
I have a nice bookshelf here. I have a nice bookshelf at home. At home, I read fantasy stuff. Here, I read sports stuff. I don't work a whole lot.
Really?
You don't. You look at Teddy, and it's a situation where I know what I got there. I still don't really know. I may be 85% sure that Drew Locke's not the guy, but now's the time to find out, especially after that play and especially after that loss. I said that after if they lost to the Eagles, it would erase what they did against the Cowboys. I stand by it. It absolutely does. They're still 5-5. Let's read some more text. Noob, how can you force someone back to the inside of the field when he was already on the inside? That's what I'm saying. Teddy was on the inside. You can't. What? You can't triple stamp a double stamp. What are you talking about? Dixon texting in. It's a one score game and you are in the playoff hunt. You have other guys busting their butt. Make the tackle. Don't give lame excuses. Man up and own it. I agree with you. 110%. You and I were talking about this with the Super Bowl. It's kind of like the Cam Newton play. When he had the fumble, he could have ran and dove on the fumble, but instead he saw a defender coming and didn't want any part of that. I actually argue that that's even scarier than what Teddy did because he's going to have to go head first, right, to get that ball. But then again, it's the Super Bowl.
I mean, diving for a fumble versus making a tackle is different. But it's just the minimum effort that Teddy put in. It's just, you see him there. He's 3 feet from you. You have a chance to just touch him and do anything.
And who knows, man? If he leans in, does it make Darius off balance a little bit? If he dives, does Darius have to
change up his foot pattern, his pace?
And Gordon's right behind
everything.
Him, right? And then I heard, well, none of the other guys could tackle him. They were in a 13 personnel, bro. All fat guys, except for like Melvin Gordon and Teddy. They were all tight ends and offensive linemen. And Darius is a corner, so you're not going to chase him down. There's a difference between if he's 10 yards ahead of you and you're catching him. There's a difference between just stop and running. Okay, I get that. But Teddy was 5 yards ahead of him. And what did it? You got to try to slow him up. Have you ever played Madden? You know what you do in Madden. You can't
play Madden every day.
Nobody can make a tackle one-on-one in Madden when the guy's returning and you're 10 yards in front of him. So you just keep turning up field with him, right? You just hope that enough times of getting him to turn up field, somebody's going to be there to make the tackle. That's actually the same thing that happens in football.
You ever play Madden and get a turnover and the camera like has to spin around?
Oh, it's so
and
stupid.
It like freezes. And you, like, maybe that happened to Teddy. He just got stuck.
Maybe they turned it around on him. Speaking of that, we are reloading our Madden tournament. Are you going to get in on that this year?
I might.
I got second last year. Made it to the championship. Lost to a college kid. He was fantastic. His offense was good. But we're going to be doing that again. I don't know what the prize is yet, but we're working with mobile gamers. NoCo mobile gamers. It's a mobile trailer wagon. It's awesome. All right, so go vote. Let me know what you guys think. Let's read a couple of comments here real quick. Preston says, yes, but they should also be firing a bunch of coaches. Sounds like until Fangio is gone, the lack of effort will continue. And then you have Vic Fangio that just says, he's given no thought to Drew Lock. Teddy Bridgewater is our quarterback. I mean, all right. But you're not getting it done this way. I mean, the Dallas game looks like, doesn't it kind of look like it was fool's gold? Fool's gold. It's a tough one to say.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Because look what Dallas did to Atlanta. They were pissed. They went off. Alex says, yes, we're not winning a Super Bowl, much less going to the playoffs. Time to open up the playbook and see once and for all what Drew can do. Alex, that's it. That's it. You get a Susan and Cheryl. They're happy back there. They're smoking cigarettes. They're giving each other tattoos. It's a beautiful sight. Joe says, absolutely. He sent an irreversible message to that locker room. He's lucky to have a starting position in the NFL in my eyes. Is that an irreversible message? Can he recover from that? It's not like he went out and did something awful off the field, and you've forgiven people for that, but there's something about it, man. There's an unwritten rule in sports when you give up on a play, especially one as obvious as that.
Well, he even said in his comments that that's not the type of play I want to put on tape. Well, then don't not make the play,
then what was
Teddy
going through the brain right there? You know, what was going through your brain?
You know, even going into the next, I know it's looking ahead, but the quarterback market next year is not great. Other than a few free agents, the draft class isn't great. So, yeah, let's see what Locke can do.
And yeah. Guy says he's already stated that Teddy is still the starter. Yeah, I get it. That's not the question, though. The question is, should he? We're letting you guys. You guys, I think, Guy, hell, man, you, Ricky, Salvador, Joe, all you listeners, all you texters, I'm starting to think I'm going to take one of the Hooligans' opinions over Vic Fangio's right now.
Say what?
Yeah. Yeah, the same crew that's at the Den on a regular basis, and it's like 11 in the morning, grabbing the breakfast buffet.
Yeah, me and Noob were talking about that on Friday night.
Noob came out in bold as
yeah,
a part of it. It was actually, Noob's freaking good.
Oh yeah, his like wind up on his ball, it's like above his head.
I would like to see our Hooligans all go at it, because I don't think any of them are beating Noob. Like, and Noob, please know this, I'm actually a pretty good bowler. I sucked that night, but there's no way in hell I could compete with Noobs. Like, that was good.
Oh, yeah.
That was ridiculous. All right. Do you want to thank one of our great sponsors, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service? That's the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley Evans. And I do this read every day. And I know people hear it, and they're like, gosh, that's uncomfortable. Hey, it's life. We all have to go through it. Every single one of us. You might as well plan ahead, get it out of the way, so that your family doesn't have to deal with it. Live well, plan ahead. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated home funeral home in Greeley Evans. All right, we're going to talk about all this Broncos stuff coming up. The UNC Bears are 3-1. Von Miller getting lit up last night on Monday Night Football. He went to bed at, what were they? 3-3 when he left, right? Was that what they were? What the hell were they? And he was like, I'm 7-1 suddenly. They've lost two in a row, and he did not look good. And I hate to bash Von, but George Payton's looking like a genius. We'll be right back.
Sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
you gotta have something like that, right? When that song comes on, everybody goes crazy for The Rock, for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Leadership, pizzazz, something that's gonna get everybody pumped up and ready to go. How do you, dude, I pulled it up here. Greatest quarterback tackles in NFL history. Stefan, I love you, my friend, but you're saying that you don't expect quarterbacks to make tackles? I don't expect them to make the tackle. I expect them to try to make the tackle. I just tweeted out Peyton Manning from 2013. Fumble on the play. I don't know who the hell it was. Might have been Ronnie Hillman. I don't know. C.J. Anderson. Manning, not chasing him down, but he puts a shoulder into him, brings him down. I mean, that's all you got to do. Try it. Try. If you try, I know you're not paid to make tackles, but you're paid to try in every situation. If our kickers all got injured and the quarterback was the eighth best option to kick, I'd expect you to try to kick the field goal. I ain't expecting you to make it. That's my biggest issue. And I don't Stefan's saying the superstar factor. No. Manning, Rodgers, you name it. I expect them to try to make the tackle, and if they don't, I'm going to be pissed. Now, if they're that good, where they can overcome that. If that were Aaron Rodgers on that exact play, Peyton Manning, whatever, we'd forgive it. Why? Because we know the next day they're going to throw four touchdowns and 400 yards passing. Teddy's going to come out and, you know, go 20 of 45, 189 yards, maybe a touchdown, maybe a pick, couple sacks. That's stats you help you forgive a lot of things. Doesn't mean you're still less upset about Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning not making an attempt at that tackle. It's frustrating, and you should be frustrated. The more I think about this, dude, the Broncos haven't been to the playoffs in going on six seasons, folks. And for you Broncos country to come out and say, it's okay? No, Teddy's going to get hurt. No, you shouldn't bench him for that. What was he supposed to do? Then you're part of the freaking problem. Become a Dolphins fan then,
That's even worse. Don't give them that advice.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, get out of here with that.
You could be in a lot worse situation, Broncos, but, you know. But you guys got to make a play.
You got to make a play. In Broncos country, you should hold them accountable. Instead of this bull crap. This is bull crap. What you guys are defending this with is bull crap.
Well, they talk about, oh, we have to have a championship standard and
that is not championship
culture.
Standard.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not it. Try to make a tackle. No, Melvin Gordon fumbled. It's the NFL. I almost cussed. It's the NFL. Guys fumble. Guys throw interceptions. Guys miss tackles. Guys miss coverage assignments. It's part of the game. Fault them, sure. But if you're going to compare, well, Gordon shouldn't have fumbled in the first place. Well, yeah. They shouldn't have been down in the first place if you want to go that far. You guys kill me with this. Double A, just heard the music. This is our wrestling talk segment, right? Just joking. We got to throw in some WWE music once in a while, man.
It's your playlist. I just click it.
It's my playlist. You're just living in it, right? 33 minutes after the hour. Zach Stevens is coming up next. He obviously got a lot of those quotes from Teddy, so we're going to talk to Zach about it from DNVR Broncos. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Man, I'm a little fired up there, Angel. A little fired up. I'm ready to go to the GOAT and watch more sports that just pisses me off and then drink beer. Like, that's where I am at this point already on a Tuesday. I always tell myself, positive Pete throughout the week. I usually make it to Monday afternoon. Today, this week, I made it to Tuesday. We're getting fired up, man. Zach Stevens joining me from DNVR Broncos. Zach, you are one of the lights of this show. So give me something positive, man. What do you got out there for me?
Man, I mean, I think you're giving me the positivity. We're talking about watching sports and drinking beer. I'm all for it, Brady. I mean, that's what the bye week is for, right?
It's, you know what? It's 12:38. It's not like it's morning or anything. So we're ready to go. The GOAT Sports Bar, man. It's if you're ever up here in these neck of the woods, my friend, I'm taking you over there. It's my treat. We're going to do it.
Hey, I'm all about it. That would be awesome, Brady.
All right, man. So I'm not necessarily saying this is the Drew Lock switch. I'm having an issue, Zach, with like so many Broncos apologists of Teddy saying, "Hey, you don't want your quarterback to make that tackle." You're 5-5. You have a chance, or you're 5-4. You have a chance to really set yourself up for the playoffs. I'm tired of missing the playoffs, Zach. I'm tired of all of it. And when I see something like that, it just, and then I see the excuses. I don't know. It's really got me going today.
Yeah, Brady, I've been a pretty big Teddy supporter during this entire process, but no, he has to make a play. The only way he shouldn't make a play is if the coaches told him, Teddy, especially this past week with Brett Rypien as the backup with Drew Lock out to COVID, if they said, Teddy, we can't have you get injured, so if there's ever a time when you have to put your body in harm's way, don't do it. But you know what, Brady? The coaches did not tell him that. So he's got to make more of an effort. You know what? Just dive on the ground. You know, trip him up. Mm-hmm. Slow him down a little bit. I'm not saying put your right shoulder into Darius Slay and risk yourself getting injured. Absolutely not. But come on. I mean, Teddy admitted it yesterday, and I thought that was a good step in the right direction. But Brady, well, actions speak louder than words. So Teddy Bridgewater's apology, I think, is a step in the right direction. But his actions on Sunday spoke louder than his words yesterday. So he does still have a long way to go to earn his teammates, to earn the fans' trust back. So I think yesterday was a good step in the right direction, saying he failed the team. What he did was unacceptable, and I think that's 100% right. He failed the team. It was unacceptable. I still think the Broncos lose, even if he does make a tackle there. But, Brady, they're in a much better spot to at least try to make a comeback if he makes the tackle there. And really all he has to do is hit him, and either he's going to take him down or it's going to slow him down enough for Melvin Gordon to get him. So, there's no defending Teddy for yesterday. And by his words, there's no defending Teddy. He failed the team.
I mean, Zach, what was the NFL game earlier this year where you saw the fat lineman like dive? I don't know what game it was, but he's 10 yards behind a guy. There's a 0.0% chance that he's actually going to tackle him, but he dives anyway, and it became very entertaining to see that. But I don't remember the clip, and I'm with you. The frustrating part of the play, I get it. Bang, bang, it happens so much faster than me on my couch can do while I'm eating Doritos. I get it, but it's almost like he looked down, like in the middle of that process, almost like, no way, I'm not even messing with this. And I mean, we've seen punters and kickers do it, and I'm not expecting a tackle. I'm not expecting a world beater hit. I'm expecting a hand to go up in the air, something. Maybe try to sleight of hand distract him. I don't know, something crazy.
Absolutely, just something. It like slide, get caught, get called for a tripping penalty. Because you slid and you didn't want to tackle him. That would be something. And a lot of people want to say, a lot of people point to Peyton and the couple of tackles he made throughout his career, and he wasn't putting his head down. He wasn't putting his shoulder into him. He wasn't form tackling. No, Peyton's on the ground, and he kind of throws his hand up and trips Calais Campbell. That's what people wanted to see from Teddy. And I have to imagine if he gets an opportunity to do it again, he's not going to pull up again. And that was a crucial play. And you can even go back to how that started. Melvin Gordon's got to hold on to the ball on fourth down. After the game, he said, you know, I should have had two hands on it. Yes, of course you should have had two hands on it. It's fourth and one. Ball protection is everything in that situation. And so really everything about that play was pretty unacceptable. You saw a few guys really show a ton of effort to try to get Teddy, to try to get Darius Slay. But it was more than just Teddy that didn't have the full on effort. And Brady, I think right when Darius Slay ran by the Denver Broncos defense, everyone knew it was done. And you hope that this wasn't the end of the season because of this stretch they have coming up after the bye that could be so brutal. And if it is, man, that's what Teddy Bridgewater is going to be remembered for. He's not going to be remembered for having the best season for a Broncos quarterback since Peyton Manning in 2014. He's going to be remembered for pulling up. Now, if the Broncos turn things around, they beat the Chargers, everyone's going to forget about it. If they go 1-1 against the Chargers and the Chiefs after this bye week, and they have a 500 record with Detroit at home, and they win that game, man, they're going to be right in the hunt for the AFC West, and people are going to forget about it. But that's what's going to make people forget about his wins. If not, man, that's what's going to define Teddy Bridgewater's career in Denver.
There was some of that positivity I was looking at, Zach. They are still 5-5. I mean, as mad as I am today, and we got to go on this long, miserable bye week, At the end of the day, they are 5-5. Everybody but the Chiefs lost in the West over the weekend. You do have a shot. I mean, you just have it. But it's kind of like you watched that Cleveland game, and you think, oh, my goodness, they can't beat anybody. And then they beat two teams in a row. They beat Washington, okay, they destroyed Dallas, which how? I don't know, Zach. It's crazy. The NFL is really perplexing to me. But at the end of the day, you are 5-5. You're right in the thick of this thing. So as bad as it looks, the Broncos do have a shot. I loved your tweet, and I was not making fun of it. I loved your tweet yesterday saying, this is the best record the Broncos have had going in their bye in a very long time. And that's the truth.
Yeah, and Brady, we get so caught up in the week to week of this team, and I think that's great. I mean, that's what football is all about, is you have a week to simmer on things, say how bad they are, say how good they are, and this week was terrible for so many reasons. The football was awful, the effort was awful, Draymond Jones calling out the coaching, there was a lot that went wrong, but when you take a step back, this is at least progress for the Broncos, and some people want, obviously, they want way more progress. They want the Broncos standard to be restored of, you know, a Super Bowl or bust, expecting playoffs, but that's not where the Broncos have been the past 5 years. And what we've seen this year, people don't like to hear it, it's progress. They're 5-5 at the bye. That's the first time they've had a winning record since 2017, or not a losing record since 2017, and they control their own destiny right now, which is something that you always want to have when you're a sports team. They have 7 games left. 5 of them are against AFC West opponents. If they take care of business there, they will win the division. They will be hosting a playoff game in January, which is just so crazy to think about with how bad this past week was, how they went on a 4-game losing streak, yet they control their own destiny. And look, the Chargers, Brady, they're struggling. I mean, they started off real hot this season. Everyone thought they were going to take off, including myself, and they've come back to earth. You host them at home. You can beat them in a couple of weeks. Now you have to play a lot better than you did last week. And then the Chiefs, oh, man, it seems like they're taking off right now. But that defense has struggled. Now it's starting to pick up. So that's a very scary game. Playing in Arrowhead's always scary, especially when a guy like Patrick Mahomes is there. But then you turn around and you get the Detroit Lions at home. The Detroit Lions, unfortunately, that's your only team for the rest of the season with a losing record. But, I mean, you control your destiny, Brady.
You know, you really do. My fear is with Kansas City. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. They're probably going to start the engine 2 or 3 weeks before they play the Broncos, and then they're going to be coasting. Let's hope that's not the case, and the Broncos can kind of get something right in this bye week. You're right, though. This season has been – I'll give you this, Zach. It doesn't feel like the Vic Fangio seasons of old or the Vance Joseph seasons of old. The Broncos are definitely doing it. Just when we think they're out, they pull us right back in. Just when we think they're in, they kick us right back out. So at least there's some of that going on rather than just, oh, 4-game losing streak followed by a win and then another 4-game losing streak.
Right, exactly. And now if you want to look at it on the flip side, which a lot of people do, and people say, now the Broncos are on pace for a 7-11 or 7-10 record, or, you know, 8-9, that's the worst place to be in sports. Well, which way do you want it? Do you want them to be competitive in November and December, or do you want them to be absolutely terrible? And unfortunately, this Broncos team, especially where they are right now in 5-5, it's too good to be terrible. Brady, there's no chance they get a top 5 pick. It's looking increasingly like it's going to be really tough for them to get a top 10 pick. So you have to look at where they are right now. They're closer to making the playoffs, and they have a better chance of making the playoffs than they do a top 5 pick. So you've got to be cheering for them to continue to win. And look, if they go 8-9, people are going to say another losing record. But on the flip side, that is so much progress from what we saw. Now, people also don't want to see Vic Fangio back. They don't want to see Teddy Bridgewater back. And what you hope, even if they go 8-9, 9-8, potentially even make the playoffs, is that Teddy Bridgewater will probably be here for another season. But that doesn't mean that they don't draft a quarterback in the first round. And especially with the way this draft class is looking at quarterbacks, Brady, they could absolutely draft a quarterback, have him develop for half a season, an entire season behind Teddy, and then make that transition. So I think that's what Broncos fans don't want to see, is have it Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback head coach next year and nothing else. Even if they do well enough, they could still be going after a quarterback.
Zach, I got about a minute left. Rapid fire time for you, since it's bye week and we're coming up for air. I'm just going to fire off like five questions. You answer yes or no, what your gut tells you as we get to the remainder of this season here. Are the Broncos a playoff team? Will they be in the playoffs this year?
No.
Is Vic Fangio the head coach next season?
Yes.
Is Teddy Bridgewater the starting quarterback next season?
He is, yep.
Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator?
Yep.
man, I'm running out. I'm looking for something. Courtland Sutton or Tim Patrick are both on this roster next year?
Man, I think both, but you can't ignore the way it's trending for Courtland Sutton. He has 78 receiving yards in the past three games combined. That is not number one receiver.
Okay, on the playoff one, how far out? Do they miss it by a game, two, three? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think they're close. I think they finish 8-9, and I think if they finish 8-9, Brady, they don't make the playoffs, but they're good enough where Vic Fangio's back, and I think if Vic Fangio's back, Pat Shurmur is back as well. It's not something that people want to hear. But a quarterback will be on the way in the first round, is what I believe.
All right, my friend. I'm going to do some more of this rapid fire stuff. I really like it. we're going to do that. Zach, my friend, appreciate you. Nobody better, in my opinion. We are lucky to have gotten to know you and get you on this show. We'll look forward to catching up with you Friday.
Brady, I love it. Thanks, man.
All right, dude. What do you think, Angel? New production piece when we bring in some of our guests. We wrap up with rapid fire. Just throw them like four questions, because they don't. A lot of times our guys like to think about it and they give really great answers. I just kind of want sometimes pull the trigger. How depressed are you after hearing Zach Stevens, who is very much in the know, say that Vic Fangio is going to be here next year, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the starting quarterback next year, Pat Shurmur is going to be the offensive coordinator next year? That's a pretty depressing thought for me.
I'm not even a Broncos fan, and I'm sad.
I mean, come on.
That's just like, really?
Mm-hmm.
How long? Same thing with the Rockies. Like, how long are we going to do this mediocrity?
Oh, there's a story in the Denver Post, Angel. Go check it out. I think it was Keeler who basically said the Broncos are now the Rockies. Essentially, they're going to put up with mediocrity. They're going to be loyal to guys that they like, but they're not going to really try to fix this thing.
It's a basketball state now.
It's a basketball state! And on that note, we'll take a short break. It is a basketball state. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Here, Bears basketball and the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text lines, 888-530-0043. And now it is time for our stat made in heaven, Angel.
So heading back a little bit of history here. 1962, Wilt Chamberlain scored 73 points against the Knicks on 29 of 43 shooting.
Man, those were the days, right? So that happened this time?
On this day in 1962.
Wow. Sensational player, man. One of the best to do it.
Honestly, top five.
I mean, no question about it. Guy probably doesn't get enough credit for that, because we're always having the debate between Jordan and LeBron and throwing Kobe in there and Magic. And, man, Chamberlain was...
Well, he's on all those records.
All those records, man. No question about it. All right, good one. We're going to be doing that all the time. Angel's going to bring our stat of the day. Go vote on our poll question, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Should the Broncos bench Teddy Bones and start Drew Locke? Is it time to finally close the book on Drew? Vic says no, by the way. He says no. I'll read more of your texts on the other side. I got some CSU questions we'll get to as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Second hour coming up next.